Okay, so we're Rabbi Meir Simcha Kevin.
Thank you, Nachum David. I've been here for reading this chair. About 15 years ago, when I was a teenager in high school, one day our Rebbe was unavailable, and the school arranged a substitute Rebbe. To be totally honest, I couldn't possibly tell you what he actually taught us that day. One thing I do remember was the question he set us for homework. And the question was, classic one for high school Talmidim, to go away and to think of something that you would not have otherwise contemplated, something you may not have otherwise realized, a particular bracha in your lives may not have otherwise thought about. Think about it, consider it, appreciate it, come back and report on it. A beautiful question. The only problem was, he applied to this question the dangerous word, homework. And everyone knows any high school student is allergic to that word. So obviously, I tried to be a bit of a smart aleck, and I decided that on my way out, I'd pass by the Rebbe's desk and give the easiest, most doable answer I could think of, and hopefully I'll be scot-free by the time I leave the classroom. So what was the classic answer that everyone likes to give? The human body. A bracha that's with us 24-7, my definition. A nice easy one, didn't take too much thinking about. I went past, I politely suggested this answer to the Rebbe. He knew exactly what I was trying to do, he gave a knowing smile, he nodded, and I gave myself a mental pat on the back. I was scot-free. In hindsight, however, I perhaps should have given a bit more thought to this piece of homework. If no other reason, and because it might have helped me prepare this share today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's take a step back. Let's have a quick look at the parasha. And we'll take it from there. In Bahari, we have the beautiful, albeit not easy, mitzvah of Shemitah. Every seventh year, the farmer is asked to give up an entire year's worth of work, his standard income. And he may be forgiven for asking a famous question. What if you say, what if the farmer comes along and asks, what are you going to eat in that seventh year? I can't work. I can't bring in my income. I can't produce. I can't put bread in my table. I can't sell. I can't do anything. And find another field of work, maybe. I can't do the standard work I'm used to. What are we going to eat? I can't sow. I can't gather in my crop. Can't do anything. Says Hashem, don't worry, you keep my mitzvah, you'll get a bracha with tzvis yes for a chassi lachem mashana shishis. You'll get a bracha in the sixth year, you're worried about the seventh, you get a bracha in the sixth year, but also says tzvot is shleish hashanim. Not one, not two, 3 years worth of produce you're going to have. You're going to be busy all year long. You think half a third of the way through the year, you're going to have an entire year's worth. A second, you don't know what to do with yourself. I tell you, 3 years all around, you're sorted, you're good to go. Rishonim do argue as to whether, they disagree as to whether this was 3 full years or perhaps part of the first, part of the third, and the fourth, second year in the middle. Either way, it certainly represents a whole lot more than he would normally get in 1 year. That is a passage of the Pasuk. Why are we even eating us in here? You can't work. Fair question. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Dar Shem Moshe, he takes a step back and he questions the necessity of writing these words, this question here. It's very unusual, pasuk. You could have simply escaped. He can't work in 7th year. He's keeping Shemitah. This is Nisias Barachasi. You'll get your reward. Don't worry, you'll get a big bracha. When was the last time the Torah goes along asking questions? You've got to ask. Give me your shukal Torah here. I'll give you lungs. You want to know what you're going to do about X, Y, Z? I'll give you the answer. Just saying, it's Nisias Barachasi. Says Ramesha and Masachesh. The Vitzavisiyas Barachosi is a direct result of the query Vichisoyma. If you're wondering, Manoicha, what are we going to eat? Vitzavisiyas Barachosi. To be Madaic, that if you did not ask it, if you did not ask Vichisoyma, you would not have had the bracha Vitzavisiyas Barachosi.
What's this verse?
Sorry?
What is first mentioned in the Pasuk?
Vichisoyma. And if you ask Vichisoyma, then it's Yisus Barachosi, then you'll get the bracha. And simply understood, it's simply saying, you know what, you're wondering what you eat, the result is it's Yisus Barachosi, you'll have plenty to eat. Says the Ramesh, no. If you didn't ask the question of Vichisoyma, you would have had a bigger bracha naturally and automatically. The Eibush would have given you a bigger bracha in your harvest, in your life, than the bracha of a Tzivitzis Brachasi. You would have had a bracha, he says, why? Because the Sholesh Hashanim, the 3 years worth, it's a beautiful bracha, you got 3 years worth of panosa, but equally you got three times the effort, three times the sweat, toil and tears, the blood, sweat, toil and tears you've got to put into that land, three times the storage costs. Later on, in fact, in Bechuk Kaysa, it has to be the bracha, so indeed it's a bracha there, but still, Rashi explains, the Yoshan of Plechodosh Tetsiyu, the bracha of having so much grain is that you'll have to take out the old grain. You'll still have some old grain left, so you'll have to remove that to create storage space for the new grain. That's what a bracha you'll have in your life. You'll have such a high quantity of grain, you'll have to remove the old one to be able to store the new grain. The Derek Yomisha borrows that comment of Rashi and applies it here. Had you not asked the Tzivitzis Brachasi, you would have had exactly the same amount of time covered. You would have produced enough to cover that amount. It would have, however, been within the quantity of 1 year's worth of grain. The Rashi says earlier, Oichel Kimo Mesporech B'Meyo. You would have eaten a small amount and literally been satisfied in the stomach. In other words, the idea being that a small amount would have sufficed for 3 years. You wouldn't have had to put in extra effort, work, expense. 1 year's worth, a standard amount, same amount of food from years 1 to 5 will come in year 6. That amount, however, will last you triple as long as it normally would. You ask the Fisema. So the farmer displays, on his level, yes, it's not an easy ask, but on his level, he displays something of a lack of emunah. The Fisema, I don't understand what you're doing with me here. You know what? It's easy, real fussy. But it's going to cost you. Yeah, it's an easy bracha. You get a bracha, you get 3 years worth. Don't get me wrong. It's true. But 3 years worth is 3 times the effort, 3 times the cost, 3 times the expense. Says Rav Moshe, the taina on him is for asking Chisayma, the result is a lesser bracha of a Tzivisi es brachasi. I'll have to command my bracha.
Somebody asked you in the Shemitah.
Sorry?
You asked you in the Shemitah itself.
That's a good question. When is this question actually being asked? We'll get there. Good point. The Noam Elimelech says a similar idea. Naim Elimelech says a similar idea. He doesn't say that it's a lesser bracha. What he does say is, you would have anyway gotten the bracha of a Tzivitzis Brachasi had you not asked the Chisayma. Puts it in more Chassidish terms, he says, Hashem creates the world with the Tznoyos of Shefa. Hashem constantly pulls forth Shefa and bracha to Klal Yisrael. He's not going to leave us alone. He constantly gives him. And when a person comes along and starts asking questions, says Naim Elimelech, he creates some sort of a hefsek in this Tznoy. I can't quite explain it. I'm going to tell you what he says. He creates a hefsek in this pouring, this showering of Shefa, so that Hashem has to renew the bracha and save it to Yisrael Brachasi. You would have had it anyway. You're now asking some sort of pause there, some sort of factor in the way, some sort of plugging in the hole. Hashem removes that plug with Yisrael Brachasi. He's mechadish his Shefa once again. By the way, in some editions of the Naam Elimelech, they actually quote Rav Kodesh Melechovich. He actually says that this vat, which Naam Elimelech, by the way, quotes from his brother, Zusha, I should say, quotes from Achi HaGadol HaMefursim, quotes from Zusha, they say Zusha actually heard this in the P. Eliyahu HaNavi. That's what he says. Okay, so we've got a vat from Eliyahu HaNavi today. Naam Elimelech says that yes, he would have had this bracha anyway, he put some sort of pause there, he therefore has to, Hashem, Kaviyachana, has to renew that bracha of Tzivisius Brachasi. So again, Noam Elimelech follows a similar Mahalach Telemotion. He says that he would have had the bracha anyway, the Tzivisius Brachasi is a renewing of that bracha. Rav Moshe takes it a step further and says it's actually a lesser bracha. In fact, Rav Moshe adds on, in Chiddush, that it could be based on this premise. It could be that there are actually two types of bracha. For those who asked this Tzivitzis Seima, you got a bracha, don't worry. But it was a bit less. It took 3 times effort. Meanwhile, the guy in the field next to him was getting punched out the same amount with a third of the effort. He didn't ask questions. The guy who did not say Tzivitzis Seima, Malik was on Shvius. He got to the third of the amount quantity-wise, but 3 years later he looks back and sees that same amount lasted him all that time. Which could be that there were two brachas at play at once. That's the Darkei Moshe and the Naam Elimelech. There's a third Mahalach, and this one I'd like to go into a bit more detail with, discuss a bit more at length, and it starts with the Rambam. You can't work on yourself, what's he going to eat? Says the Rambam, Kumoi Mesuras. Read a couple of lines here. really we should be reading this pasuk in a different phraseology. We should be applying, should be replacing, rewording a few words into a different location. Not the chisoimru, you'll ask, manoicha bashan shvi'es, what are you going to eat in that 7th year? But the chisoimru bashan shvi'es. In the 7th year, the farmer wakes up and asks, manoicha, what are we going to eat? Why? This was your point. Ki adaigala hem bavar shminis. He's not worried about the 7th year. What normally happens? You work the 1st year, you produce by the end of the 1st year, you've got an X amount of crop. In the 2nd year, you've got what to eat. Same repeat, 2nd year, same 3rd, 4th, 5th. In the 6th year, you're producing not for the 6th year, for the 7th year. By the time you get in the 7th year, rolls around, what are you going to eat then? You can't bring in X, Y, Z. It comes from the 6th year. It says the Ramban, you're not worried about 7th year. The question can't be the chisoima, man, neich, mashal, and shish, working in the 7th year because you're allowed to work in the 6th year. Yes, our loss is affecting end of the 6th year, beginning of the 9th year, but still, you were working primarily in that 6th year. You've got what to eat in the 7th year. So what is the worry? The worry is that I can't work in the 7th year, what am I going to eat in the 8th year? The chisoimar bashana shvi'es. What's the 7th year? Well, the 7th year is when you ask, what am I going to eat? Then the shvi'es
brachos. But when was the extra given on the 6th year?
We're getting there, on the board. Kikivin shetzchilas shnasa shmeta vayevim et tishri, mepeis hashishis yechiv ha-shvi'es. Good discussion to whether it's followed by yevil or not, etc. Point is, you worked in the 6th year for the 7th, the 7th for the 8th, your worry is the 8th year, so what's the 7th year all about? That's when you ask the question. Not when the bracha will come. You've got to work in the 6th year for the 7th, it's when you ask the question.
How do you answer?
So you saw the bracha, so what's the question? I don't understand. If you say the question was, what am I going to eat in the 7th year? I.e. it doesn't tell us when you ask the question, potentially you ask it in the 6th year, I'm going to eat the next year because I know I always produce for the next year, then fine. I may not have yet seen the end of the 6 years worth of produce. I may not have measured what I've got in my storehouse. Okay, I may not realize yet that the Svisa Brachosi got 3 times the quantity. But if I'm asking the 7th year and I'm saying, Svisa Brachosi, have another look, you know what you saw last year, you have 3 times the result. Well, the guy's got short-term memory or something. He knows exactly what he has. He knows exactly you have 3 times the quantity. He has known by the time that a 6 year rolled around, he already had the broccoli to eat the broccoli. Why was he a few months or a year, half year, a year later coming along and asking, what am I going to eat? He saw what he was going to eat. Ramoshi doesn't actually say exactly when he asked it. Potentially it could be asked in the previous year. Ramoshi says that what the thesis for a chossi is in quantity. If it's in quantity, then the question stands. But it doesn't say when he asks it. It says in the Kliyaka, Alfima shekosam nirmala, based on an earlier premise, Shebroch hazo sheyechad kemo mesporek umeya, the Alfima, like Rashi quoted to us, was he, it's a little bit and that lasts a long time, is a question. There's no question. Why not? Ki soif soif lo yira ribayatvo. Because if the Kliyok is understanding that the Ramban learns this entire Fesvisis Brachosi Lechatzchila is only in quality. Is in how long this 1 year's worth, 1 year's quantity of grain will last, that will last for 3 years. L'sholesh Hashanim. That same quantity you had. So against Rav Moshe and the name Eli Melech, they explain that this Rechisimah was a time. It was a question. Why is a farmer coming along and asking? You're busy questioning on above. So you know what? Yeah, the Tzitzit of Rechasi, I don't know Eli Melech. Hashem would have given it to you anyway. Have some questions, got to renew it. Or Rav Moshe, that he has to give him the lesser bracha of the Shabbat Shalom quantity-wise. But again, the Zakir Moshe is certainly learning that this is talking about a bracha in quantity. Has he not asked the Chisam Ha'imad to have the bracha anyway in quality? The Pasuk is talking about the Shalom Shalom quantity-wise. The Menemech doesn't specify if it was quality or quantity. We can discuss what exactly he means by having to renew it. He does say it's a tiny like the Misha, somewhere in the middle. And the Kliyaka explains Ramban is talking about the Pasuk itself, Lechatchila, referring to quality-wise. This amount, this quantity that you normally produce in years 1 to 5, that 6 years worth will last you for 3 years.
So you're saying if I have a nice big plate of six potatoes and steak, etc., and that's what I usually have, I'm happy. But now I'll be happy with half a piece of steak and 3 potatoes.
You're asking, will I eat it slower? As I'm going along, how will I know?
My stomach will be happy with that. At what point? I don't need that big plate. What is better? Well, it's better if you have a nice big plate or a small plate.
Maybe you'll finish the plate and then a little bit more, more
little
plate.
A few beans.
What's better?
A big plate of cholent.
What's better, the quantity?
It's a musa here.
What's the quantity of the
eat? I hear the point. It's a fair point. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz references this Ramban and Kliyoka, and he takes it a step further. He uses this principle to explain the Gemara in Brachas and Mbeis. The Gemara in Brachas tells us there is a brisa. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'hoylich lamud goyim is someone, a farmer who's going to measure his granary, his grain in his field. So the brisa in Bov and Siyam, Brachas in Bov and Siyam Mbeis. Oymer Hirasim and Fanacha Hashem and Akedon Shetishach Bracha Bavasi Adilim. Please give me a bracha. I'm already working. I'm now going to count. Let me make sure I see that there is bracha there. That's before, I stress before, he goes to measure. Here's Chalam of Gona. He's already begun. Not finished counting. He's in the middle. Oymer Hirasim and Fanacha. Sorry, Baruch Hashem Leach Bracha Bekeraze. In the present tense. Not please make sure there is, but in the present tense. Hashem Leach. One who says, please make sure there is bracha here. When you wake up for saying a bracha afterwards, how is that tefillah shav? Nothing, too much tefillah shav. You're asking for a miracle, it's out the window. Too late, my friend. Yes, beforehand, yes, whilst you're doing it even, not afterwards. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I don't understand what's going on. If saying a bracha on something that I've already done, and don't forget this farmer's already produced the entire stock of it, he's going to count it. If he asking for a brach on it is a form of nays asking for a miracle, so you can't say a brach in the first place. Maybe say a brach before you start to do it right at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the season. But now it's too late. And if, as the Bible says, no, you can do, it's not tefillah shav, then why afterwards is it not? Hashem is going to do what you want. So why afterwards is it tefillah shav? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, what the Kliyaka is teaching us is that saying a tefillah, saying a bracha, the tzivisi is brachasi, is not changing teva. That is teva. To go along and say a tefillah, the Ebishter created, he put into this world a massive bracha, a massive ability, he gave humankind the ability to effectively adapt, change, or create teva in the first place with his tefillah, with his bracha of Yeratzin, that it should please be bracha b'kriya hazeh. That is, in and of itself, the teva. The person is creating it. Once he's gone and measured it, see, in the south has already said, oh, over here in this square, over here on the floor is X, Y, Z. So in his mind, one kind of question somebody who's on a particularly high diagram on it, they're a good old average person, and in his mind, he has already created a mitzvah of teva, he's already seen how much is there, to then go and say it's filler, go and say a bracha, so it's filler. He's pretty much asking for a miracle at that point. Beforehand, his bracha creates that teva. That is not asking for teva, that creates teva. That, he says, is a pshat in the Kliyoka. What he is doing, he's going along and doing, the idea is that in the Vitzvisis Berchosi is a quality. He produced the same amount in years 1 through 5 as he did in 6. That same amount he produced in 6 is no different. Oh, hold on. The amount from years 1 to 5 lasted him for an entire year's worth? What, he said, I'm going to work to X, Y, Z, and then I got a year's worth? No, see, that's in the sixth year. Now, I should say that year it lasted X amount of time, now it lasts for Y amount of time. What difference does it make? Hashem's Vitzvisis Berchosi. He is going along, Hashem's Vitzvisis Berchosi. Or in the case of the farmer, what he allows the farmer to do by saying Yeratzai is to create that teva. As the famous Ramban puts it at the end, in his essay, at the end of Pasha's point, Amin, Hanisim HaGadayim for Solomon from the great and public miracles, all the might of Anissim and Astarim. Famous Ramban. A person admits, recognizes, appreciates the small miracles in our everyday lives. We have to be entirely Christian, every word of Russian here. So let's analyze this one minute. I'm going to Musa here to learn. Let's analyze this a minute. I mean, Hanisim, Hagedoylim, Hamfursam. So I'm talking about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What happens? There are two descriptions. There are Gedoylim. I mean, talking about Chris, the answer to the Esamaka is they were pretty big. Hamfursam. No one knew about it. Everyone knew about it. They were public. Adomaida, when you appreciate those, when it hits you in the face, and what do we appreciate? Listen, Hanistorim. Private miracles. Nistorim is a contrast. Private miracles is a contrast to Mufrasamim. What word is glaringly or missing? There's no contrast to Nisim HaGadayim and Mufrasamim. Min HaNisim HaGadayim and Mufrasamim, Adomaida and Nisim HaNistorim. So cancel out the Mufrasamim and Nistorim, you're left with Gadayim. Why not say Katanim? Hanistorim. Why not say this smaller? What does Ramban teaching us? I think it's very obvious to suggest. What Ramban is teaching us is there is no contrast to Nisim and Kadayim. There is an Imam for Saman and there's Nisman. Some everyone knows about, some are hidden. Maybe one person appreciates them, maybe a few people appreciate, but they're hidden. There's no such thing as a contrast to an ex-cousin. I once mentioned this to a friend of mine, I will admit, he wasn't too happy with me. And he said, no, maybe what the Ramban means by Nisim Kutaylin is a description of the Mahrasamin. We appreciate them as being big because they are public. So Ramban obviously is not saying Talim because the Nisim are Kutaylin, we all know that. I was engaged said it was Shabbos for family, Simcha, I asked him, and he agreed with my deal. And being Talim Chacham knew more than me, he packed it up with a Rashi and Pesach. Rashi and Pesachim on famous Gemara that Koshim is a Nisim Shal Adam Kikriyas Yamsuf. That a person's Zionist, person's Parnasa, is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. Rashi directly explains that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he gives a Nes Godoil, those are his words, Rashi's words, a Nes Godoil to the one attempting to get his Parnasa in the same way as he did for the Nisim Gdelim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it says, Tam Chacham, you see, Rashi clearly applied the word Nes Godoil to Nisim Nestorim. Perhaps that is the pshat in the Ramban as well. Effectively, what's being asked of this farmer, coming back to Shmita, is to appreciate that years 1 through 6, which people don't really focus too much on, read the second and the focus on the 7th year. Years 1 through 6 is also in these, and therefore, to understand the Ramban, how can he come along and ask in the 7th year, what am I going to eat? Well, hold on and see if the Rekos of Hashanah and Shishis. You saw what you're going to eat. Answer is, as a kliyaka in echos, if you like, in the amount of time this 1 year's quantity worth lasted him. It lasted him for 3 years. What he's being asked to appreciate is that all along, it was one day together. So Hashem did the same thing with the 6th year, just making it last 3 times as long. Says Rav Chaim, he is expected to understand, a big ask, but he's expected to understand that all along the teva was a nes. In other words, to appreciate that whenever he sees teva, he should really read it, he should appreciate it as being a nes. Perhaps that's what the Darki Muslim means, if I can cast some minds back a few months, to Parshas V'Yigash. This is a very interesting thing. Yosef had Tzadik, you know the story, he went from the lowest of the low, practically speaking, he was in the base of Surim of Potiphar, goes up to Mishnah Melech, a phenomenal rise if there ever was one. The Achim come along, they're accused of being spies, tells them, go bring your father, leave Binyamin here, Yehuda says, no, nothing doing. And they eventually, the famous revelation, Ani Yosef HaOda V'Chai. The very first thing Yosef HaTzadik asks them after the revelation is HaOda V'Chai. Not, welcome in, it's HaOda V'Chai. What's his big concern? Furthermore, the brothers had just told him the father's alive. He said, leave Binyamin here. The Yehuda said, no, I can't. Our father's already lost one brother. Not realizing, of course, they were talking to him. When we can't leave Binyamin here, we don't want to affect our father's health. We don't want to hurt our father. So he's alive. And he's got his answer ready. Says the Darki, Musa, a beautiful thing. What was the Abner? Why did he not recognize him? Well, unfortunately, he goes to Talia. The bit XYZ, why did they not recognize him? You know why they didn't recognize him? He gives a moshah. He says, and I'll keep it very brief, no time is precious. He says, as once a king, he wants to take a survey of his subjects, pre-media days, he wants to know what everybody thinks of him. So he goes out and doesn't himself contrast anyone. If he goes out with a full regalia, the full pomp and circumstance, no one's going to give him a straight answer. He goes dressed up as a regular ordinary citizen, puts on a regular suit. He goes out for a walk, starts asking around what other people think of him. First, he decides the best place is to go to the big mayor, the governor of the big city, the head of the prime minister, the big politician. He goes there, dressed up as an ordinary citizen. Apparently his guys works, his suitor does a trick, because they don't recognize him. Before he knows it, he's chucked out of there. We don't need random people here, we're the big politicians. He unknowingly tells the king, skedaddle, please. Okay, so he decides, let's try the opposite extreme. He goes to the local shtetl around the corner, he finds the Yiddish house of Mzuzah, he knocks on the door, I quote, the Yid opens the door, he gets the shock of his life. Hinei HaMelech, Hinei HaMelech, it's the king! That's the king's time to get shocked. Whoa, tell everyone, how do you know? What's going on? He turns to him, Your Majesty, you want to know how I instantly recognize it as a Melech? I'll show you. He takes him into his house. On his wall is a portrait of the king. He says, there are big politicians out there. They know exactly the king. They have a regular contact with the king. I don't. Directly anyway, I don't get anything from the king. If I want to be a bit patriotic, if I want to recognize the king, think about know who the king is, what's the one option for me? Take a picture, put it in, stick it on the wall, and every time I'll pass, at the corner of my eye, consciously or otherwise, I'll see him, think about him, and know who he is. Said the king, the big politicians, they didn't really care about me. They wanted the honour, the prestige, the wealth, the income that comes along with the high-flying jobs. Beautiful, no blame for them. But they didn't directly want a connection with me personally. They didn't yet have no direct gain from me. The one thing he wanted was a bit of patriotic recognition of who the king's king is. Someone who thinks about, looks at, considers the picture of his king, the image, the facial image of a king every day, will recognize that king no matter how he's dressed up. Says Daki Musa, yes, I had a fundamental concern. If he didn't recognize him despite how he's dressed up as a Mishnah Melech, that means that all along, all these years I had been in the train, they hadn't been thinking about him. Because had they been thinking about him sufficiently all these years, and their daggers somehow or other, they would have recognized him no matter what. What's one such as that? Shaykh Khazal Yasef, the Musa Yibn Shal Yasef, was like the Musa of Yaakov Avinu. If they weren't thinking about him, they didn't recognize his face, they didn't recognize the face of Yaakov Avinu. Ani Yasef, Ha'idah Vichai. He saw me, he didn't recognize my face, in other words, he didn't recognize Yaakov Avinu, the person supposedly you're looking after, caring for, connecting with all these years along. Please tell me that you weren't just lying for the sake of Kuch Nefesh for Binyamin. Please tell me that really, Ha'idah Vichai. The cat's out of bag, please tell me, is he really alive? Says the Archim, what was the response? He couldn't respond. I didn't say that. The brothers were confused. From the face. When there was a face, they realized it was a mistake. They didn't recognize all along. It was a spitting image of Yaakov Avinu, Pashtas. They should have recognized even if they weren't thinking about Yosef for whatever reason. Okay, but Yaakov Avinu they were talking to. They had a connection. Maybe it's like they took another picture of the king every day out of the corner of the eye. You should have seen, you should have known, you should have recognized that spitting image. You should have realized if it wasn't Yaakov, it was Yosef. They didn't. He was fundamentally worried. He didn't have a moment upon him. Was Yaakov alive? Yes, Yaakov was, but that was a mistake. Says the Chaim Shmuelitz. What are we asking on the farmer? We're asking the farmer to recognize that every year all along he should be recognizing that face. When the going gets tough, what do you call it? Hester Ponin. Hester Minatari Minayin, he has to ask her as Ponai Mehem. When does it really get tough? Not when a Kororah is dressed up. When he's dressed up and we can't identify that facial image, so to speak. We can't recognize the Avishter, the one above. That's when the going gets tough. And perhaps that's why, at the beginning of the Pasha of the Shvius, the Pasuk says it's the Shabbos Hashem. Rashi says, what's his reference to Shabbos Hashem? Just like Shabbos Bereishis. Poshim talk about what exactly the Pasuk is teaching us, what's Rashi referring to? Maybe, perhaps you can suggest, what happened in Shabbos Bereishis, there was a fundamental, the one peak of Emunah that ever was one, was on the first Shabbos, the end of the first week of Maaseh Bereishis. Imagine just for a second that we were standing there and day one and watched the miracles come to play. The shades and the vibrations, day one, day two, we've been blown away. Every minute, every day, we will not steal ourselves. What's the difference? Hashem created the sun, the moon, the stars, the lamp. The very same Teva, as we call it, we have today, was there in Shishim vibrations. They would have been blown away and now we're not. What's the one difference between then and now? The one difference is 5,785 years. We get so used to it. Teva's niece Tamidi, the Ramban says, we get so used to it, he discusses the point in the Chukai as well. We get so used to it, we just call it nature. That nature is a niece. That's all asking the farmer to be consciously aware of all along. Baruch Hashem, Yom 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 Aslanu. Which is generally understood to mean Baruch Hashem. We should say Baruch Hashem, we should bench Hashem when? Yom 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 Aslanu. Every day we have brachas. Every day we have an abundance of brachas and life. So every day, say Baruch Hashem. So this is Baruch Hashem, and I misunderstood. Baruch Hashem, not when, for what? You know what for? That's just the big thing. Yoyim, yoyim, yom aslanu. For the mundane daily grind, for the day in day out, for the yoyim, yoyim. For the daily grind that goes on in our everyday lives. Then nothing to talk about Baruch Hashem. That's what we need to bench Hashem for. It's that Baruch Hashem, yoyim, yoyim, is reversed. That's what we're benching Hashem for. That's what we need to recognize. Indeed, in terms of tefillahs, he was asked, the farmer was asked to say this tefillah. He says this tefillah. Why? Because when you recognize that tefillah, when he recognizes that he's creating a tefillah, that bracha is what creates a tefillah. It's that bracha that he recognizes in his whole lives all along is the one factor that allows him to recognize when the nes comes along. Indeed, we should the Zeichetaka to recognize all the brachas in our lives, not just to gain the brachas, but perhaps the biggest bracha of all is to be able to take a step back and to recognize, just like the farmers asked to do, the brachas that we already have in our everyday lives. Thank you very much.
I apologize, I did not have the clay yucca.
No problem.
The catchphrase, you should realize that the year before we had the brothels, so what's the answer?